just fantastic. Got a chance to go walking around up there again early this morning, which I just love. No crowds. You can go anywhere you want. Yeah. Just fantastic. What a great event. What a great couple of days to start it off.
Right. And this is, you know, and some of you I know are going to be joining the EAA convention here. There's going to be 600,000 people that will attend this. And as Johnny said, there's just so much to see here. We walked around yesterday for a few hours, and what did we see? Maybe 20% of this, 25, you know, and then, of course,
saw the warbirds, though. That was cool.
That was cool.
Took the tram. That was awesome.
That was pretty neat, all those test planes. But, you know, so, yeah, here we are, the world's, you know, busiest airport for the next 3 days. This is the EAA Air Venture here in Oshkosh. And it's just, there's so much to see. Like, I'm all about, you know, the future. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, you know, a little bit space exploration. But these whole flying cars or Jetsons, you know, I just think that is, like, cool stuff. But the history they have here is just unbelievable. Those, like you said, those warbirds.
Well, I love it. I just went around, took some pictures, put it on my Facebook, because you've got the new ones we're going to be talking about that are almost like a flying drone.
Right.
Something so tiny, it's incredible. Then versus the ones, well, our gentleman with us right here, Rick Larson. Rick, what's your mode of transportation?
Well, I'm still a little old school with my 1939 Piper Cub, but...
How do you get parts for that?
You know, it's amazing with that airplane. You know, there were, I don't know, 15,000 Cubs produced, and there's probably still 4,000 or 5,000 Cubs flying.
Oh, there are.
So it's an airplane that literally you could rebuild from scratch. Parts are readily available. It's a great way to fly, great way to have fun, and it's a relatively inexpensive way to do it as well.
Rick, tell us about your affiliation with
and your whole aviation career.
We talked to Rick obviously earlier, and I'm like, oh, we should be saving this for the interview. So I don't want you to repeat yourself, but I do want you to repeat yourself because you're such an interesting guy. But your affiliation with this, your title.
Sure. So my title is Vice President Communities and Member Programs, which is kind of the outward-facing side of EAA. It's everything from the museum to our youth ed programs, things like Young Eagles, all of our education programs we do at the museum. I've got the communication side of the house, chapters. You know, really, it's the kind of the boots-on-the-ground side of EAA, and then... In addition to that, you know, kind of the one of the main folks involved in features and attractions here at Air Ventures. So, you know, that my career at EA has spanned now almost 20 years. And as we were talking, you know, if you had said to me 20 years ago, you're going to still be here 20 years later, you know, I would have said, you're crazy. I'm an airline guy. I'd spent 25 years on the airline side with Midway Airlines and then ATA in Indianapolis for... You know, the better part of 25 years, and but this is a unique place. This event's a unique event, and it's just absolutely a blast to be part of.
You know what I think is really cool? When we're driving over, Jim, a lady stopped you, and you said, hey, how did the event go yesterday? It's like, great, we had 100 girls who really got into it. That's the part, you know, aficionados of aircraft, obviously, they love coming around here and, you know, quote-unquote, kicking the tires, but you guys do so much with youth and getting people invested in it. And I know there's even, as I was talking to some people from the college of your Middle Tennessee State, where they got the aerodynamic programs and nautical programs. Yeah. And there's a lot geared towards youth here.
Yeah, let's talk about the youth and what you're doing. I just want to preface that with, you're 200,000 members strong.
I mean, 280,000.
280?
Yep.
Wow, John sent me some bad numbers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go.
Wow.
Well, you know,
just so you know, Jim only had one complaint the entire day yesterday.
No, that was good. John.
He couldn't buy a beer at 10:30 in the morning.
Actually, they didn't open till 11. John tried to bribe her. I'm like, let the girl alone. So anyway, so let's talk about the youth. Your membership, 280. Wow.
Yeah, you know, so you know, the organization, if you go all the way back, you know, it really is about how do we make aviation accessible. You know, how do we get folks involved? I mean, our mission is to grow participation in aviation, and a big part of that has to start with the youth side of the house. We've got to get younger people involved. You know, for over 30 years now, the organization has run the Young Eagles program.
Yeah.
You know, and these are volunteer pilots, our members, chapters, flying youth. You know, we've flown almost 2.3 million kids during that time.
If I can jump in, I remember my daughter they were doing a TV story, and one of the people doing the story asked if my daughter could come along with her kids, and they did a big story down here. It was still with Mr. Poporesny and everything like that, but it was like when that program was starting, and it was very cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't think, you know, at the time the goal was, you know, we want to fly a million kids before we get to the 100th anniversary of powered flight, which was, you know, 2003. And, you know, the program, you know, I think at that point a lot of people thought, okay, we'll hit that goal, which we did as an organization, that, well, you know, that was great. That was a program. Yeah. It's over with. We'll move on. But our members love flying kids. And really, you know, I was talking to a number of folks yesterday. To get folks involved in aviation, especially youth, it's about exposure.
Right.
How do you get kids to see what this community is really all about? Most importantly, how do you get them to understand that they can be part of this, and they can do it, you know, whether they do it as a hobby or they do it as a career? That's really what this is all about. And so, you know, when you look at what we do, we've got Young Eagles. We just put a $7 million expansion on our museum, which created a youth education center. We always had a lot of field trips in here,
right?
But we never had dedicated space for it. Now we've got classrooms and labs. You know, we run Air Academy. You know, when you mentioned being stopped out on the plaza this morning, you know, that was one of the folks that's involved in our girls consor program.
And which, ironically, Jim and I yesterday met with a guy who runs a museum down in Texas for the first female pilots, but the first dedicated female pilots we ever had in this country in World War II, and they were very good. So I think that's pretty cool that you've got that from 75 years ago, and now you've got these young girls having that same interest.
And those women from 75 years ago are still an inspiration for girls today. And you know, I think there's a lot more that we can be doing to get young folks involved in aviation, especially girls. I'm a little biased. Our youngest daughter, we had two daughters. Our youngest flies for Delta Airlines.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But all that interest all started right here.
No kidding.
Oshkosh.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it is that exposure. It's the you can do it.
Hands-on.
Yep. That's what it is.
I would think that the airlines, if you're not exposed to it, you would think it's unattainable.
Unreachable. Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute.
How do you have that in?
Right. That's above my whatever.
Absolutely.
Pay grade, intelligent level. And so with the youth program, and Boeing has been a good partner with you just to bring them in to this show at no cost, right? Aren't they underwriting a lot of the youth?
Yes. Yeah. So this is the third year of 18 and under free being underwritten by Boeing. Just a huge move for us. You know, you absolutely see more families, more kids walking around here. And again, it goes back to that exposure thing. And there's no better place if you're going to, you know, want to expose kids, you know, your children to what's possible, you know, when it comes to aviation, aerospace, what have you. There's no better place than to do it here because it's all here.
Right.
And it's not just hardware. It's not just, you know, a static exhibit. It's people. And that's what makes a difference. I mean, this goes back. I mean, Paul said from the start, you know, the airplanes may bring us together that first time, but it's the people that are going to bring you back. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though, as far as we're talking about some of the advancements. Do you think because kids these days are so much more technically experienced than we were? I mean, I played with Lincoln Logs, and these kids go. Yeah.
And you struggled with those.
I did. But, wow, that's what I deal with on a regular basis, Rick. But do you think that has helped advance them, too, in that way with the technology that they have at such a young age?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think there's, you know, core interests that get developed that way. But again, I think from an aviation standpoint, it's how do you translate that for a kid that might be, you know, tech savvy to you can pursue that in aviation. You can pursue that in aerospace. And that's what we're trying to do here. And I think, you know, the same applies to adults. You know, I mean, you know, we've got to learn to fly center here at AirVenture. And it's both geared towards kids and adults. But, you know, where do you point someone that's always been a dreamer, somebody that has always said, hey, you know, I've always thought about it. I've always thought about, you know, that might be something I want to do, but I've never really understood how do I take that first step. Well, that's what we do there.
That's awesome.
How do you open those doors?
And so, Rick, we're here in Oshkosh, the headquarters of the EAA, but you've got tentacles throughout the United States, right? That
absolutely.
A kid in Seattle or Miami could.
Yeah, we've got, you know, obviously our membership is, you can say it's worldwide and it is. And we've got members all over, but, you know, the majority is here and obviously in the States. You know, but we have chapters throughout, you know, the country. We've got, you know, over 900 chapters.
Awesome.
And that's where a lot of our programming and a lot of our youth programming really happens, is at the chapter level. The Young Eagle program itself, probably 60 to 70% of those flights are related to chapters doing rallies.
Can you stick around for a couple more minutes, Rick?
Sure.
We're going to send a quick break.
Thanks.
One thing I want to talk about is the historical aspect here. Like, I was looking at the Corsair over there, and when I wrote my books on Korean War veterans, they had saved so many lives. It was mind-boggling. The B-25s, all these different planes.
Sure.
I think it's such a history lesson walking around here.
And a future.
These up close.
I just love this
cool.
history.
All right. We got to send it. Oh, we got a little bit more time here. One last quick thing. You were talking about the kids that get involved in something like this.
Yeah.
And I think the schools have done a nice job, too. I know a lot of schools are starting to get kids interested in these sorts of things.
Well, and again, that's one of the things that we try to do with our education center and with a lot of our programming is how do you get that into the schools?
Exactly.
How do you get teachers comfortable talking about it?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, because I think, on a negative side, we have – you know, at times built barriers around how do you do this? How do you become part of this? And that's what we're trying to do is how do you knock those down? How do you make them understandable?
Beautiful. Okay, we've got to send a quick break. We're back with more Rick Larson from EAA. Great stuff. Mind on the Mayor, back after this.
Oh, I want to get away. Oh.
Oshkosh at Air Adventure, EAA, having a great time down here, walking around, seeing all the unbelievable planes. We're talking here with Rick Larson. Now, Rick, I told Jim, I said, one of the cool shows I used to watch when I was a king, or as a kid, was Sky King. Remember Sky King?
Absolutely.
Oh, nobody missed that show, did they?
Nope.
He's never heard of it. He's never heard of Sky King his niece Penny. So we're driving around in the tram yesterday, and the guy's doing the big tour.
Oh, that's
okay. And you know what the guy says?
John.
Hey, if anybody ever watched Sky King, this was the type of plane he had, right?
Yep. Actually, that airplane, one of them that was featured in there, is sitting here.
No
on the
kidding.
That's that one, I'm sure.
I'll be darned. Wasn't that great? That
absolutely.
TV show?
Absolutely.
Brought to you by Nabisco Shredded Wheat.
I think it was.
It was.
Okay, so all right, that's where we're going after the show.
Guy, listen to me. Listen.
Nabisco.
He solved crimes.
Really?
He saved people.
Sure.
He caught prisoners who escaped.
Yeah,
all these kinds
all
of things.
Factual.
It's
okay,
all
let's
factual.
Talk about factual stuff with
facts.
Rick because he's the guy that really
raced. Remember, he sky raced. That was cool.
Okay, for those of you who can't see us, Rick is rolling his eyes, saying, "Let's move on with my show." So EAA Air Venture with the 650,000 attendees, and Rick is here just talking about the engagement that this association has with communities throughout the United States, actually throughout the world. And really with a focus on the youth. And, they're 280,000 members strong. But what they're doing is I think some of us telling Rick earlier before John interrupted about his cartoons.
It wasn't a cartoon.
Wasn't?
It wasn't. It was live. It was real people. The plane is right out there, Jim.
Really?
Yeah.
But Shredded Wheat did the... Okay.
Shredded Wheat.
I took the Shredded Wheat as...
Shredded Wheat.
Okay,
which nobody ever... Do you ever know anybody that, like, willingly ate Shredded Wheat?
We did.
Did you?
Absolutely.
I could see that. Your family,
you
I can see
break
that.
Break those up?
When you got 18 kids, I guess it's like, who gets to eat breakfast today, Mom?
Anyway, back to where I grew up. And I was talking to Rick about this. And this is kind of... I think when you're a kid in a smaller town, you see airplanes and pilots and astronauts that you think is just unattainable. It's like, wow, they're there and I'm here and... Rick, I just want you to talk a little bit more about that connection you're making. I mean, any kid in the United States could get engaged either through your website or through one of your youth programs. And you just mentioned something else in K-12.
Yeah, we just recently launched, it was actually at AirVenture last year, a program called Aero Educate. And it really is a follow-on. It was intended to be a follow-on to the Young Eagles program. How do we keep kids engaged?
Right.
We know that through a Young Eagles flight, we might light a fire, light a spark. But we also know that for a lot of kids, you know, if nothing happens in the follow-up, 2 weeks later, they're off doing something else and probably forgot, you know, here's what I just did. So Aero Educate's really about that engagement. It's web-based. I think we've got about 200 different activities. They're grade banded, K through 12, split in four different levels. But they're activities that kids can be doing at home. They can be doing it with their parents. It's all about learning and exploring what aviation is all about and what careers are all about tied into aviation. We also have 24 activities that we developed in cooperation with North Carolina State and Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University down in Daytona. And those are all aimed at teachers, allowing teachers to bring aviation into the classroom through an activity that is STEM-oriented, meets certain standards, and again, goes back to, I keep saying, using the word exposure, but...
Yeah,
you know, to your comment, it's how do we go expose kids to aviation, but most importantly, how do we allow them to see themselves doing that?
And I think you're checking all the boxes, but the teacher has to be comfortable too.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, right? They're the teacher.
Yep.
And for you guys to offer, you know, programs, education, just a comfort level with teachers, they'll be a lot more comfortable bringing that into the classroom. And I think I think you're doing a great job with that.
I don't think that's a professional would say, I think this is how it works.
Right.
No.
want to know how it works. But and with the students, that's hands-on, too, which is more than just reading a book on theory, right?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things about aviation overall. It lends itself to being very hands-on. You know, it's one thing, you know, to read it in a textbook. Same thing from a history standpoint. Right. It's one thing to read it in a textbook.
Or watch
it's
it on another, TV like John does.
It's another thing to see it. It's another thing to put your hands on it and experience it. And aviation and participating in aviation really is a hands-on experience.
Yeah. Do you have
whether
simulators
you're flying
here?
Or maintaining or whatever you're doing.
Do you have simulators here?
Yeah, we do. We actually have, you know, obviously on site, you'll see simulators all over AirVenture, different companies, and we've got sims in a couple of our locations, but we also have them in our pilot proficiency center. Which is, you know, in the new expanded area of the museum.
Jim, so I'd be better than you at that.
No, you
would. I would, too. In the simulator?
I'd put money on it.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be all over it.
Rick, what is the so we have people who listen to us, and we have a lot of people who download our show. If you're down, I just got a text from a friend of mine in Tucson. Oh, I love your show. Where do people go just to learn more about anything? If they got a grandson or daughter that may have an interest in this. I still think I want to help you with exposure too, right? I mean, you guys got the program, but you know, maybe we got a little bit of the a voice out there. Where can they go?
I mean, obviously, you know, the main place you can go is to EA.org.
All right.
You know, our website, and from there you can go dig into the various areas of both the organization, what we're doing on the youth side, et cetera. You can get over to Aero Educate.
I want to say you have a great website. Whoever designs that, if that's your responsibility, kudos to you, because sometimes those can get a little confusing. EAA.org, and you can find out anything you need to know about aviation, how to get engaged.
Let me ask you one quick question, Rick. What's the greatest movie or TV show about flying, in your opinion?
My favorite aviation movie is Strategic Air Command with Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, that was about with the B-52s, wasn't it? When that was first starting,
it was actually B-36s.
Yeah,
and
B-47s, he was playing professional baseball, Jim. Listen, he was playing professional baseball, and he had been World War II pilot, and he got called back into action for the Korean War.
Yep,
John's his airplane, by the way.
What do you mean? Oh yeah, I loved airplane. Hey, Shirley, you jest. Don't call me Shirley. All right,
that was
Rick. Thank you so much for being here.
Rick, this is awesome. Thank you for coming.
And
thanks for all your work on this. We're so proud of this, to have this in Wisconsin. And keep up the good work.
Yep.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Mino the Mayor. We're back at EAA in just a bit. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here at EAA in Oshkosh on a beautiful morning before it starts heating up. See that forecast for Thursday?
Yes.
I've never seen 98 showing on a predicted forecast before.
When we're lobbying to open the beer stand.
Yes, a little earlier. Yes.
I don't know if we're going to get that done. It seems like that's not their thing here.
Yeah, Katarina was not pleased with you yesterday at the beer tent. I'll tell you that. She's like, it's only 10:30.
I didn't try to.
But you know what? It seems like a long. I mean, we left at what, 4 o'clock
right.
or 3:45? We left Green Bay.
At 4:45. So we're here, and all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, it can't be 10:30. It's got to be like 2:00, and it was 10:30. So, what a great guest. I mean, Dick Larson, what he does for this association, and really for people who are listening or you got a son, daughter, grandchild, EAA.org. Just get them started. There are so many things to get exposure, and he kept using that word, which is true. I mean, kids need to realize that this is a reality. I mean, getting into aviation is attainable. It's not that far off.
And I do think with the way the kids are nowadays, where they're so tech savvy, that has to be a big head start versus years and years ago. I mean, years ago, you either tried to join the Air Force to become a pilot, which was tough.
Right.
It was very hard. You had to pretty much be a college graduate. Right. Or you go to flight school and you spend lots of money on that, and you're starting from scratch. I remember our good friend Larry McCarron when he was taking flight lessons. And I would go up with him sometimes. He'd actually let me take controls at times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought Larry had a little bit more on the ball. Well, you know, that lot of injuries, football, you know.
What's that?
So, anyway, I think it's important, though, that, you know, our time here, and I think we're going to be back here on Thursday. No, we're not here tomorrow. We've got, we're busy tomorrow. We're in Green Bay.
We got a really great guest coming out tomorrow. We're going to talk about the burn pits in Iraq.
Right.
And the effects that's causing some Iraqi veterans. I think it's a real, I think it's going to be the Iraq version of Agent Orange from Vietnam. I really do. Very serious subject we'll be talking about
tomorrow. That will be interesting stuff. And tonight, you know, in Green Bay, the Cougars who played Fridays on the Fox, we talked about that. They're playing tonight at St. James Park. So that's going to be a nice event. And then tomorrow, you know, I help out at the community shelter. And Associated Bank, which is just a great corporate citizen in Green Bay, well, actually in Wisconsin.
Well, Mike Daniels will actually be there.
No, Mike is with Nicolet.
Who did you say?
Associated.
I'm sorry.
Mike,
that was a big mistake.
That was.
That's
Mike
a big
used
mistake.
To be an associate.
To
but
be.
Anyway, and Nicolet is a great.
I apologize.
Nicolet is a
was
great.
That a big mistake.
Sweet, Johnny. It's early. A little. You put the beer down. Get the coffee. Associated Bank, Johnny. They do their Day of Giving. So we have 100 of their employees coming to the new community shelter.
That's phenomenal.
To help us.
Phenomenal.
A lot of stuff that needs to get done. So tomorrow we'll be in Green Bay all day, and then.
And you averted the toilet paper crisis?
We did.
Yeah.
Thanks to Georgia-Pacific.
Yeah.
Are they the best company?
Absolutely.
I mean, there are so many in Green Bay. I don't want to say the best, but one of the best. So it's weird, but we just had this shortage of toilet paper and paper towel rolls. And so we called them. They came over and gave them the tour. And they said, look, Friday, you know, we're going to send a truck over. And just I just love that about, you know,
So it makes Green Bay great?
It does, right?
Yeah.
When you look at, you know, why Green Bay was chosen as the number one place, and there's a lot of great cities, there's tons of great cities in the United States, but I think that whole philanthropy and the giving back is great.
So you did not make it to the shareholders meeting.
I did not.
That's one of the first times you've ever missed that, isn't it?
That is true. I am a shareholder like most people. I would say for those people who want to be mayor someday, you should be a shareholder.
Absolutely.
If you want to get elected.
That would help.
It does. Sometimes you knock on the door and they ask about taxes or crime. Other people, are you a shareholder?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
So, okay, well, you got my vote. All right, then I can move on to the next door. But, yes, that I did not go because I was with you here at the EAA.
Where would you have rather been?
Oh, yeah, there for sure.
Okay.
But I mean, this EAA thing is unbelievable to me. I just truly enjoyed walking around yesterday, and I look forward to doing that after.
Well, I think the really interesting, we've got a guy coming on at 7.
Right.
Who owns it. If you just saw my Facebook, I put a picture of, and I can't really call it a plane. It's almost like a human drone.
Or a flying car.
Or a flying car. That's something. It's completely electrical. It's unbelievably tiny. It only gets an hour right now of energy, of juice, basically, to fly around.
Right.
But these things are so small, so when they talk about potential air taxis in the future, this is what they're talking about.
Well, and I think there's some work to be done. That battery time of an hour is a little scary.
Right.
You know? But the fact that if they need a runway, that's a little bit of a deterrent for those of us who live in the
hood. I don't
know
if it does, though, does it? Doesn't it just go straight up like a helicopter?
The guy coming in, well, there's a couple of them here. The Italian, they manufacture the product in Italy, and then they bring it to Gulf Shores here in the States, and that's where they assemble them and distribute them. They need a runway.
There's only 8 moving parts in the whole thing. 8 moving parts. I swear, I read about it. I do research, Jim. It's a little
you missed
thing,
the zero.
It's a
really?
Little thing called show prep. 8 moving parts. Isn't that amazing?
Okay.
Would you do an air taxi, though?
You know,
how do they regulate something like that?
Well, that's a big discussion right now is what's the height,
right.
What's the direction. You're right,
Is there much traffic going back and forth? Yeah.
Because if they take off, pardon the pun, but if that industry takes off, there's going to be a lot of them. I mean,
yeah.
I'd get one for sure. But the thing is the helicopter air taxi versus the runway air taxi, let's say they're both flying cars, the helicopter one costs more.
Okay. How much do you know?
No, I just know the other ones are like 120.
Can an individual person have one?
I don't know, 130,000, is that a lot?
Okay, that's not bad.
Right. But that's the runway
Your car
one.
Probably costs that much.
John.
How much was your car? Did the city give that to you?
No.
And then Milton just took it over and slobbered all over it?
I was talking to my wife about Milton slobbering on the dash, and
yeah.
I think some of that was from you, too. So
well,
I think it was
been.
A combination of the
yeah.
two of you. But anyway, the car's clean. Back to the air taxi. The helicopter one... They actually fold the wings. You can put them in your garage.
I know.
Is that like
that's
awesome?
Unbelievable? It's the size of a compact car.
I hope we
it's
live to see that.
Me too.
I would love to.
I agree.
Just think going to Manitowoc and
just
take
boom.
My air taxi.
Yes.
Boom, over to your house.
Yes. Would you visit?
No,
okay.
I would just go to Manitowoc.
Oh, I
like the Lake Shore,
yeah.
Two Rivers, but no, I wouldn't. I have more practical use than that.
Okay.
I just think it's going to be great, and I just think there's so much infrastructure, and there's just a whole economy that's going to be built around that. So I'm excited to get him on our show.
But now, do you need to have, like, a pilot's license for something like that?
That's all what is under discussion.
Okay.
Is the direction you're going, the licensing that's going to be required. And the thing is that no one's going to be doing that until we got the technology down, and that 1 hour battery time is
yeah.
Not
but it looks pretty cool out
it
there.
Does.
Like
it's
I said,
awesome.
I put that
and
picture on my Facebook. It's coolest little thing you'll ever see.
My guess,
but
is,
I think it only holds one person, doesn't it? Or does it hold two?
Well, the one that I was looking at holds two.
You know what it kind of reminds me of a little bit is the MASH helicopters. Remember when they would just have the bubble canopies,
yeah.
Or it's just that, and then they'd strap the wounded guys on the sides,
yeah.
That's what almost reminds me of a little bit size-wise.
Well, there's a lot of those helicopters here to give tours of the ground.
Yeah, they are. They're going all over.
Those guys are big. But that, you know, when Dick was talking about...
I always wanted to be a helicopter pilot. What was that?
John, I don't know you all that well, but I worry about your technical skills, your decision-making in times of crisis, your focus... You're drinking. Just there's a lot of things that I get concerned about.
This is the guy that tried to buy a beer at 10:30 in the morning. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, back
hey,
to
pot. Yeah.
No, but when we talk about the here, we're not sitting back and saying, "Oh, air travel's great." You know, we got first class now. We can go anywhere we want. This whole
you ever
new...
fly first class? You have, haven't you? On the city's dime.
Never.
Was it on the city's dime?
Never.
Was it on the city's dime?
Never.
Yes.
Never.
Or no?
I the city buys the most.
Will you take
budget
a lie detector
ticket?
On that?
Absolutely, I would.
All
I will tell you though, Johnny, that the city buys the most budget ticket possible, but I would then upgrade the ticket out of my own money.
All right.
So anyway, no. But I think when Dick says, you know, go to EAA.org to find. Probably the youth are the ones who are going to figure all this stuff out, John, with the longer battery time, with the licensing.
They will.
That's who's going
Some
to do it, not,
it out.
Not
Absolutely.
The old guy like you. So
yeah.
I think that we're really into a whole new industry coming up
too.
Here. And this,
I'm fascinated
there's so
by
much
this.
Energy here. Like you said, we're walking around at 5:30 this morning, and there's not a lot of people here, but you still feel that energy,
Absolutely.
Don't you, just by looking at the planes
well,
and
like
that
I said too, right, what I mentioned earlier is that for somebody who's a history buff, like I am, I'm a history buff.
Yeah.
And I am buff.
Yeah.
And but to go up to some of these planes that you've seen in movies and everything like that, you know, the Corsair and everything like that. You okay there? The Corsair and everything like that.
I should listen to you more. That and buff. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But,
go back
but
to
that,
the.
But dressage. You realize it's like we had some planes that weren't all that big. They're like the size of a Cessna basically,
yeah.
And they won wars.
Yeah, I know.
You know how much courage it had to take to fly up and go up in one of those little things.
Oh my God!
Unbelievable.
Just yesterday, when we
beyond belief.
Tour of the Warbird
yeah.
area, and But boy, those things were built to, he just said they'd land those things on fields.
On nothing.
And
yep, everywhere.
And all, they were just all these training planes and, you know, just the different levels.
And a lot of them then would get patched up. They'd have bullet holes in them all over.
I know,
just patch them up,
rip
a couple pieces of sheet metal on it.
Right.
Incredible. I've met, whenever I've met those guys, though, they're a different breed.
Oh, yeah.
The pilots from the
death
war,
wish, right?
They were cowboys. No. You know what I mean? They were cowboys.
Weren't too afraid of stuff.
No, they were not. But, you know, another thing here that I think is really cool, and he's talking about the youth and the kids and everything like that, but I love how they also honor, like, we're going to hopefully have the one guy on today that runs a museum for the WASPs, and that was women 75 years ago who were pilots, and hardly anybody knew they were pilots even.
Yeah, he was great.
I mean, that's just incredible, and they were a huge factor in World War II.
And they are. They're really honoring women, and they're... just the help of the industry and what they did flying those planes.
Yes,
you know,
ferrying
testing
them back and forth.
Right.
Where they get built in like Romulus, Michigan and Ypsilanti, Michigan, and the big factories down there.
Yeah.
Then they'd fly them to like Nebraska, Texas, places like that.
Right.
And these women, they only had their wings for probably, 6 months maybe?
Right.
And they're
and
flying
they're...
these huge bombers all over the country? Yeah. I think that's amazing. Just amazing.
The other thing I don't want to overshadow here is just the honoring of the Vietnam
Yes.
veterans. This is the 50th anniversary since combat, and there's an honor flight going out
To Washington.
To Washington, D.C., and they're going to come back here and be welcomed by the 30,000 people standing around the
helicopters are right over there. I was looking at those helicopters.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
I think when we look at experimental aircraft adventure, it's so much more than that. Everybody talks about, you know, the plane is the plane, but it's the people, it's the industry, and the commitment that they have to the military, the commitment that they have to the youth, to the women. It's a great, great industry to be part of. And I just would encourage anyone listening and, you know, like I said, if you've got a son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, if they can't get out here this week, they have 900 chapters throughout the United States, actually throughout the world, EAA.org. And get engaged in this, and maybe next year they can come back or bring
Absolutely.
Them out here.
It's very cool.
Picks
it really
up the tab.
And I guess the night shows here are fantastic.
Right. We haven't seen a night show here because Johnny and I, you know.
We go to bed early.
Separate. But
yeah.
We go to bed early.
Not even a question there. I don't think they even had to say that. I'll be honest with you. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but just
saying.
You're
looking at
even,
me.
Yeah.
We miss the air show, but maybe Wednesday night. I don't know. We have to talk about this
right.
week. But I do... You know, I don't know. There's a lot of people that we'd like to talk to and have our listeners get exposed to. So, but we have a great guest coming up. I'm going to see if the guy from the Women's Association
from
is
the WASPs.
Out there. From the WASPs is out there.
Absolutely.
So we'll try to rope them down.
It'll be fun. Another thing we got to talk about, though, too, is the NASA aspect of it.
Oh, man, right?
Because you're big into the NASA aspect. I didn't know they were part of this.
Yeah, they are. And there's an astronaut here. Now, he's... pretty booked, but yeah, this is just so cool. Everything from the Apollo, they talk about that, to what's new in space exploration. And,
I'm not kidding about this. I could have been an astronaut.
Yeah, right.
I could have been an astronaut. Because you know why?
Todd's shaking his head. Our producer is shaking his head. No,
are you serious?
And he doesn't even know you that well. So
I was so big into the program, into the Gemini program.
Oh, because you're interested in it?
Yeah.
Means you could be an astronaut?
Build those
nice.
Models.
I'm interested in professional football. Think I'm going to be a football player, Johnny?
No, but I'm just saying.
That's
all right.
Okay.
All right. I still tell my son, if I was his size, I'd be the only 65-year-old in the NFL. I'm just telling you that right now.
That guy could play in the NFL.
Yes.
But he picked being a mortician, which is, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, we have a lot of good guests coming up, a lot more to talk about. As we told you,
we're
live.
Are we going to take a flight in anything?
Yeah, I think we should. Anyway, we're live here down at the EAA in Oshkosh,
you know,
Wisconsin, with 600,000 other people.
A biplane.
And
it's like a Petticoat Junction.
Yes, okay. But just listen in here. We got a lot better things to talk about than Petticoat Junction.
All right.
Thanks for listening. We're WGBW, Mine Own the Mayor. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back. Mike Norman, the mayor here at EAA in Oshkosh on a beautiful morning. Really nice out there. We're talking about getting heated up a little bit later today and for the rest of the week. But right now, it's absolutely perfect out there. Jim, you're out walking the flight lines and doing everything.
And running into some great volunteers, and they have golf carts that kind of give us some escorts. And we met someone yesterday that was driving the golf cart, a volunteer out of Cincinnati, and we're talking to him. And what an interesting person that has such a special connection to the EAA. Jim, Dr. Jim, he's an anesthesiologist. Are you retired or are you still
retired? Retired emeritus at the University of Cincinnati.
Our Bearcats.
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 Okay. And tell us a little bit about the association that you're with and in your connection here with the EAA.
Well, we've been fortunate in Cincinnati to have the oldest owner-member flying club in the world, the Flying Neutrons, founded in 1952.
Where'd you get that name, the Flying Neutrons?
And we're the home of GE Aviation.
Okay.
And at that time, everything was all about atomic energy.
Got it.
And GE Aviation was building an atomic engine
okay.
for airplanes.
Okay.
So we decided, since we had some members from that group, Flying Neutrons was the name.
Wow, very
Love
cool.
It. That's
very
a cool, cool name.
Now, that goes back to, when that started, that goes back to the era of the movie we were talking about, Strategic Air Command with Jimmy Stewart.
Correct.
Remember that movie?
Yes.
Great movie.
Okay. So tell us what your group, you come up here or do you still fly, right?
I've been flying since I was a resident, so 45 years. And had some planes that I've been involved with outside of the Neutrons, but I've been a Neutrons member for over 30 years.
Wow. Does this ever get, I don't want to say get old to you guys because you guys keep coming back, but do you guys need something new to kind of look at to kind of make it worth your while, or are you just happy just being here amongst all your old cronies, for lack of better words, and seeing some of these great...
What you see when you come to visit is you see aviation very uniquely. There's 10,000 planes that are coming in here this week into the area, 650,000 people. But really, as a pilot, we're interested in education and safety. So these forums that are here, there's hundreds of forums that are all designed to help us to be safer and better at what we do.
And we were talking quite a bit there with Dick earlier about the youth movement they have now to get kids involved.
Exactly.
In flight.
Yeah. So my grandkids are very excited about aviation, and I hope it stays that way.
Oh, isn't that cool. Great? I mean, that, and we, this industry has not reached its pinnacle. It's just getting started. I mean, when we walk around here, and a lot of history, but there's so many new things coming on. And
it's a wonderful career for young people if they're thinking about what could be a career that they would enjoy, and there's a need, aviation.
Jim actually talked this morning on the way here, this true story about getting a job, the aviation.
There,
tell him what it was. Tell him what it's going to be. Tell him what it's going to be. Tell him.
What? No, I just said I was.
You wanted to be a baggage handler.
I just think you meet nice people. The people in the airline industry, I think, are all nice, from the baggage handlers to the pilots to the customer service people, and they had some openings in Green Bay, and I thought, after I was done with my previous job,
He was mayor of Green Bay for 16 years. Did you know that? He mentioned that once or twice.
Yeah. I just wanted to meet with people. I wanted to stay in the community. And aviation, I couldn't be a pilot. I mean, I'm not that smart. But
You could be a pilot. Yes, you'd be doing just fine, Jim.
I think he'd be great. He would be a great turret gunner in the old B-50, don't you think?
So tell us, Jim, tell us a little bit more about your organization, that Flying Neutrons. How did you get involved in that, or when did you get exposed to?
Well, the goal was like-minded people that had a love of aviation, that were pilots. And you really need to fly planes. Sitting them in the hangar is not ideal. So when you have a larger group of people and everybody wants to have the plane in perfect condition for when they use it, we all take care of each other.
Yeah.
And the planes get used.
Yeah.
So the way that the system is set up, everybody's an owner member. You care about the flight when you're with your family, and you want the next person that uses the plane to have a good experience as well.
What was your first plane? Because the last gentleman you had on was a 1939 Piper.
Actually, it was a Sundowner.
A Sundowner. Okay.
Sundowner made by Beechcraft, which is a nice low wing plane.
Okay.
Our group decided to standardize, so all of our planes are the high wing Cessnas, mm-hmm. And the instrument panel, of course, you want to have that standardized too.
Sure. So, you know,
so
everything
is the same, and you get in one plane or the other, and your high wing Cessna and
sense.
The panel is standardized, and you feel that this is a smart way to do it, so everybody has a good experience.
So, Doc, you talked about the education, but you mentioned safety. I mean, this seems like a very, very safe industry, right? I mean, is there anything that needs to be done on safety, or is it just something you're keeping
your... Well, this is why when you come here and you see hundreds of forums, and when you look through the offerings each day, it's amazing what's here to encourage us to learn and accomplish things so that when we're in the plane, we're taking care of aviation in a very safe way.
Yeah, there,
nobody is a hot dog.
Yeah.
It's not a... There's old pilots and bold pilots.
But there's no old bold pilots.
Yeah,
I knew that one.
Yeah.
That works. Anything that, you know, you've been coming to this for some years and you're out of Cincinnati, is there any one thing that you saw this year that's really interesting, or is it all good stuff? I mean,
well, to see the evolution, you know, COVID was tough all around for all of us.
Yep.
But having come here during COVID and now, just to see the enthusiasm,
right,
to see, you know, you guys are here, you're enjoying it. I think when people come that aren't familiar with this air show, they have a great time.
Well, like I was saying, though, too, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the history aspect, like the Corsair over there, to be able to stand next to a Corsair
correct.
That helped win the Korean War and things like that,
yes.
And see them right here, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then walk across the tarmac and see these, like, flying cars. You know what I mean? Like the breadth of that you're doing here, and people who can't come here, it's just nice to know that they can just go to EAA.org and get educated and connected online with what you guys are doing. I think you just got to be so proud of yourself for what you've done with this industry.
Yeah. The group here is really spot on for saying, how do we do safe aviation? How do we encourage aviation for the future? How do we bring new people into aviation? And how do we let people come and see this air show and have a great time? And I think people come away and they're very happy.
And then did you know the plane from Sky King is here?
Yes.
Do you remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that a great show?
I have a friend that has one of those planes.
No kidding.
And Sky King had endorsed his logbook a few years back.
He had never heard of Sky King.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Thank you, Doctor.
I have to go check that out.
I'm going to. Yes. I have to. I can't drive home with this guy.
What do you think I'd be better at, a pilot or an anesthesiologist?
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Neither one.
All right,
right,
we got
Doc?
To a quick break.
All right.
I think John could do both.
Oh. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Doctor. Mind on the Mayor. We'll be back with more right after this.
Feel like it's all been done.